This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello and welcome to the Professional Insights Podcast. I think we're at season four now. Would this be episode one, guys? Or Trev, was this episode one or two?
Remember, I don't even know number.
That's right. Doesn't matter. We're in season four. Thank you very much to our sponsors, Brand Boulevard. Our guests always get something nice from Brand Boulevard. My name's Brandon Curry.
I'm Jeff Collins.
Josh Bond.
And Trevor Lindy.
So we've got another lawyer on today, Josh, but in a completely different facet that you practice. Josh, like, you are a real estate and commercial and also wills and power of attorney lawyer.
More solicitor.
And more solicitor, right? And we have Mr. Rob. Hello.
How's it going?
You want to introduce yourself to our audience?
I'm Rob Kivlikin. I'm a criminal constitutional litigation lawyer. I do mainly criminal and a bit of civil litigation as well. I practice pretty well throughout Southern Ontario. It's a pretty nomadic existence, going from courthouse to courthouse. And glad to be here. Glad to be on the pod, guys.
Thanks very much for agreeing to come on. We really appreciate it. What prompted our group, so just for our audience that's either watching or listening, we are recording this on July the 9th, and this is a timely, the reason why we do say this is so, one, when you do listen to us, if there's any references to going into different stages in Ontario or whatever, it's because it just got announced today that on July the 15th, Ontario will be going into stage three. Now, which is amazing. But on top of that, just recently announced about a week and a bit ago, Bill Cosby was acquitted of all charges in the state of Pennsylvania. Rob, if you can correct me, it was the state of Pennsylvania, correct?
That's wasn't acquitted, had his conviction overturned.
Conviction overturned.
It's very it's specific wording. And I touch on it in the article a little bit, if you want me to get into it.
I will. So I'm just, so basically in the state of Pennsylvania, the conviction against Bill Cosby was overturned. You know what hit the fan. And you wrote a very, I would have to say, a very, not knowing anything about law at all, especially criminal law. I read your article on this on deanblundell.com. You wrote on Dean Blundell's website, and you really explained the situation extremely well. And I loved how you didn't take, we all did, we all read it. You didn't really take one side or the other, but you did hold a position through the article, but you fully explained yourself. So we're going to put a link to your article under this podcast so people can link it and go and read it. But can you just walk our listeners through the whole why you wrote it and you know, how you came to your reasonings and stuff like that?
Okay, so when I decided to write the article, I actually had a chat with Dean and I just said, listen, I'm going to write something about this. And he went, okay, sure. And I'll put it and we'll push it on the website. And, because I immediately read the decision because I knew it went to an appellate court.
Okay. So what does that mean?
An appellate court, there's trial level courts and then there's appellate courts, appeals.
Okay.
So his legal team appealed the conviction, which was, they're doing that for Weinstein. They're doing that for, that's just when that's the usual course of things. And so basically what I remember looking at, I said, I got to see this decision. I want to know why, right? Because it's, Bill Cosby, the allegations against him, and we have to remember that they are allegations and he's presumed to be innocent, but they're so overwhelming and there's so many women have come forward and detailing a very specific set of pattern of behavior, right? So it's, there's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of smoke, right? So I wanted to see that. And I realized very quickly, they weren't overturning the merits of the actual conviction. They went after, they overturned the conviction because of his procedural rights were violated. Right. So basically in 2004, Bill Cosby drugs and sexually assaults Andrea Constand. Okay. And he did that. Like that happened. Okay. He, and then a year later, she brings a complaint to the police. First, she's Canadian, so she brought it to the Oshawa police, who then referred the matter to the Philadelphia police, who then referred the matter to the Montgomery County police and the Montgomery County district attorney, which is where Bill Cosby lived and where the assault happened. And so the district attorney of Montgomery County, and you have to remember something, the DA in the United States, it's an elected position, okay? These people get elected, so they're subject to public opinion. This is why you hear a lot of this sort of tough on crime rhetoric down there, right? Because that's what sells with your taxpayer. That's what sells with your voter. You know, and
yeah, the dog catcher's elected. Like it's everything's elected down there.
Yeah, which is, and whereas our crown attorneys are not, they're appointed. No. So they're not subject to, you know, public hysteria, knee-jerk reaction type stuff, right? Although they do still subscribe to a lot of that, and I levy those criticisms often. But so you have to remember the time frame. This is 2005, right? So Me Too hasn't started yet, and you know, he looked at, but District Attorney Castor believed her. He did. Because there have been other women that had come forward too, and he did, but the evidence wasn't there, right? It's a lofty evidentiary burden if you're going to convict somebody, even higher in Canada. In the States, it's easier to convict people of crimes, but it's still proof beyond a reasonable doubt is a lofty standard that you have to meet. And he knew that there would be a jury. He knew, given his popularity, you know, it was going to be tough to convict him. So what he did was he encouraged.
Now, so I just wanted to stop you there. Because can we just go on Castor for just 1 second? Because he was getting roasted by in the late night shows quite a bit. So can we just kind of just dovetail off of that and explain why that, why he was getting, oh, because he was a Trump supporter or something like that? Or I, what was it? I lost it. I don't know why.
I don't know what his political leanings are. Yeah. But here's the point is he made a decision, prosecutorial discretion. He made a decision. And that decision was, I'm not going to pursue criminal charges, okay? And because I don't think we have the evidence here. So that's
a fair decision.
Yeah, and that's his discretion as a district attorney in Montgomery County in the United States.
But to our listeners, he believed her.
He did believe her, but he didn't have the evidence for a conviction. So what did he do? He said to her, I believe you. So I'm going to encourage you to pursue a civil remedy because the burden of proof in civil court is much lower than it is in criminal court.
Probabilities.
Balance of probabilities, which is 51%. Whereas proof beyond a reasonable doubt is as close to 100% as you can. Right? So he said, why don't we get you, make you whole out of this, was basically what he was saying to her.
And she agreed.
Yeah. And not that you can ever, you know, pay someone off who's been sexually assaulted, blah, 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 blah. But so, Castor, so then he gives press conferences to say, I'm not pursuing charges here. I'm not pursuing criminal charges because it came out that he was being sued in civil court. So in the United States, similar in Canada, you have similar rights, but you know, you've all heard the phrase, I plead the fifth, right? Which is basically the Fifth Amendment in the United States Constitution. It protects an individual against self-incrimination. So if you're compelled to testify and what you're going to say in court is going to incriminate you, you can't be forced to say, you can't be forced to incriminate yourself by being hit with a subpoena in criminal courts and also in civil courts as well. However, Bruce Castor came out and said, we're not pursuing criminal charges, gave multiple press conferences. And then, so Bill Cosby is then subpoenaed in the civil case to give testimony in a deposition.
So he can't plead the fifth in a civil case?
He could have. He chose not to, in reliance on the fact that the district attorney's office said, we're not pursuing criminal charges. So they said, we're not pursuing criminal charges. So he basically went out, like I said in the article, and I use this phrase, he incriminated the hell out of himself, is what he did.
Sure. He
admitted to, you know, a litany of things that he otherwise would not have admitted to. And then, so that lawsuit settled in 2005, 2006. For $3.38 million, right? So she got a bit of a payday out of the deal. And go forward to 2015. You've got a new district attorney. You know, again, somebody, they want to get the collar. They want to get this big, you know, because again, at the point, like there's a lot more. You got now 10 years later, Me Too's getting off the ground. A lot more of the stuff's being reported and more women had come forward. So what do? They then lay the criminal charges using much of that testimony from the civil case against him. Right. So, and that's not okay. You know, as much as I'm no fan of Bill Cosby and I think he should be in jail, you know, he did not invoke his constitutional right or his constitutional protections against self-incrimination based on the what the district attorney was saying, okay, in reliance of the fact that we're not pursuing criminal charges, is what they were saying. He then forewent the use of those constitutional rights, in reliance on that statement, and then they turned around and just used the statements against him.
So I'm not a lawyer. I know I got Josh on here. Maybe you can weigh in here, Josh, too. But I want to know why a district attorney, the way you're explaining to me right now, should probably be, you know, DA 101.
Yeah.
Why would you press charges knowing full well that it's going to get overturned, like the probability of it getting overturned? I don't understand why you would go down that road knowing.
Public opinion, probably.
I was going to say, isn't it come down to image? They're an elected official, right? So
is that it?
That all plays into it. Like an individual's vanity and they want to, maybe they're up for reelection or maybe they want the new collar or maybe they want to get this guy. Right. Like it's important to know that. And this is a problem in the U.S. You know, I believe it is a problem. Like Kamala Harris is awful. Okay. What she did as the Attorney General of California, she barred inmates from testing DNA evidence, which could have exonerated them, all because she wants the stat.
Right.
Like Kamala Harris is awful. So, you know, and that's the thing. You have to understand it's a political game.
Right.
Political game in the States, right? And that's really what they were doing. And you're right. They very likely knew that, hey, once this, you know, winds its way up to an appellate court, he's going to be let out, probably. But they just wanted the collar and, you know, they wanted to get him. And fair enough. But the point is, you know, people have procedural rights. We live in much like Canada, the United States is a constitutional democracy. Okay, people have rights. And, you know, I said this on Blundell, you know, I worked a very serious serial killer case a few years ago. And the evidence was overwhelming. It was awful stuff. And I went in, I remember talking to my boss, sort of the guy with his name on the wall. And I went in and I went, this guy's an animal. What are we doing? You know, like, this is ridiculous. Like, I can't believe we're defending this guy. And he goes, Rob, first of all, it's not about you. So check the delicate sensibilities at the door. And, you know, if we can protect the rights of the worst of us, the rest of us are better off.
Hmm.
You know, I know that's a romanticized and idealized version, but so much of criminal law, so much of constitutional law is based in those higher notions of we need to be better as a people, as a community, as a society. It's meant to better us, right? So we have to protect, you know, the worst of us. And
yeah, so basically, if you, like, essentially, if you allow the fox to run the hen house,
you
there will eventually be no more hens.
And then we all suffer, right? Because then it's easier to put us in jail. Then it's easier to put, you know, your Brandon Currys in jail, you know, on trumped up charges, right? And so at the end of the day, it's the right move, releasing that psycho.
Right. Anyone else, what were your thoughts? Jeff, are you recovered from your second shot? Are you having, yeah. Okay, good. That's, I'm so happy. Did you have any questions about that at all? About the article?
No. Did he get his COVID shots?
Who, Bill Cosby?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I find it tough. I just, you know, it's tough because you're calling him a psycho and letting him out, and I agree, it's tough. But you know, it's tough looking at defending their rights and all that too. So it's, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not in your position sometimes because I say roast them, but it is what it is, right? So
I understand that sentiment too, like because it's offensive to like, you know, the allegations are that he. Drugged and sexually assaulted 54 women.
Mm-hmm.
54. Like, the guy's a serial sexual predator, it looks right. Like.
Yeah.
There. That stuff makes me sick, but that's just me.
But Bondo, what are your comments on when you read that article?
Well, I mean, I think essentially it's a good article for sure. I mean, essentially what you're seeing is a la O.J. Simpson over again, right? Like, the glove doesn't fit, you might as well acquit. Kind of. Procedurally, if your evidence doesn't support a guilty conviction, or procedurally somebody has foregone their rights because of representations made to them, you can't then kind of backpedal and...
No,
current case right now in baseball too, with Trevor Bauer, that's going on right now through Major League Baseball, which is an interesting case and it's very public.
Yeah,
but he hasn't had a chance to represent himself right now. So you're hearing both sides played throughout, you know, the media right now, and I find it an interesting case because it's a current top tier Major League Baseball player who's. I'm not sure if everybody's familiar with that case, but it's very public what's happened, what he's accused of and all that. And I find that one interesting too.
No, and you're right. Like, and this is the thing, is that like, you see him with Jake Virtanen and the Vancouver Canucks, you know, so we're in a, fundamentally, I agree with the Me Too movement. I do. Men have been getting away with sexually assaulting women since time immemorial. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know, there had to be, and this, I have a friend, he's a welder, right? And skilled worker. But he said something really profound to me that kind of that stuck with me. And he goes, you know, I was talking about sort of the knee-jerk policy reactions because they've eroded some of the fundamental protections for accused persons in Canada as a result of the Me Too movement. You know, if the Crown's proceeding by indictment, you no longer have the right to a preliminary inquiry in this country.
Okay, so what did that mean to our listeners? What does that even mean?
So a preliminary inquiry was like a discovery almost. It still is.
Found, right?
It's like your dry run at trial, right? You
got
to go see how does this complainant testify? Is she going to hold up? You know, what's the evidence actually look like, right? So it's like a mini trial. So because, you know, we need to now believe all complainants and we need to protect complainants, you don't have the right if you're charged with sexual assault to a preliminary inquiry in Canada anymore. You go straight to trial. You know, and so it's a fundamental procedural protection that has been eroded. I'm against the know that type of stuff as a result, the knee-jerk policy reactions. And that's the Trudeau government has done that, you know?
Right.
And what invariably, what they've done is they've taken a criminal trial, like it or not, is not about the complainant. It's about the accused and whether they did it based on the evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. It's not the complainant. Right?
Bondo, you said something? Say that again.
I said they broke a law. Did they break a law or did they not break a law? Right. That,
and do we have the evidence to support that? Right. That conclusion. You know, and so, but again, this is the game board has been altered as a result of the Me Too movement, and that I'm against. You know, and again, like the whole, we have to believe all complainants, really, all of them.
Especially with celebrities, right? Because you don't know if they're gold digging or not, right? It's such you just don't know, you don't know what to do. It's crazy because both sides, you can see where they could be guilty.
And you know, I just ran a case where a complainant tried to extort my client. You know, pay me, I won't testify. Like, this actually happens. And it happens, you know, it happens to innocent men. Oh. You know, a lot more, you know, half of my practice is probably sex assault cases.
Right.
Those, about a third reek of false reporting.
And did you have any repercussions on that besides like slander or anything like that?
That's the thing. No.
Nothing. If you're shy, they don't get it. See you later.
Technically, they can, but the police are running scared. They're kind of like, we're not going to, you know.
Oh, not in the Me Too movement. No. They're not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Exactly.
Right.
So they get away with this crap, right? So it's the game board's been fundamentally altered, and it's some of the changes to procedural rights have been are deeply concerning from a constitutional civil liberties perspective.
Like the thing I find interesting, and I'm going back to the Trevor Bauer one. I was listening on the radio, and there was a lawyer talking about it. And the whole debate is really that I'm not sure if you guys know about the baseball person. He's a Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher, yep. And he had sexual relations with a girl who he's claiming liked it rough, and she ended up having like black eyes and stuff like that. And I believe the DA in the state said that if there's any kind of form of assault, that the case is basically in favor of the accuser, no matter what. So really, a girl can go out there and look for rough sex. And then
in Canadian law, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rob and Josh, you cannot consent to abuse.
You can't consent to bodily harm.
You cannot consent to bodily harm. So any guy that's out there that's listening to this, if you're picking up a one night stand, or even if it's someone that you're dating on the regular, and they're like, I want to be roughed up. You cannot consent to bodily harm. You will, and she presses charges, you're done.
Yeah, like it's that. That's the thing. Is and so the threshold for bodily harm. So what makes it so an assault? They call it assault simpliciter. Is that's assault, right? Yeah. Bodily harm is a bruise, a cut, a busted lip. When you get into aggravated assault, that's maim, wound, or seriously injure. So broken bone, broken jaw, whatever. You know, that's that. Then you cross the threshold into an aggravated assault. But and that's the thing is your BDSM crowd.
Yeah.
Be worried. Like,
yep.
Because you cannot consent to bodily harm. That is well settled law.
Yep.
In Canada. I don't know in the States. I can't comment on that. I know that again, and this is another thing that I really disagree with about the whole Me Too bit is dogpiling. Whether Trevor Bauer is exonerated or not, whether Jake Virtanen is exonerated or not, they're done.
They're done. They're done. They're done socially. They're done. Like even if they get off, they're done. Completely.
Well, the funny part is the Dodgers didn't try to suspend him, but Major League Baseball had to suspend him, and now they've extended it by a week. But the Dodgers were going to let him play, and they said, "Well, there's no proof of it, right?" But public opinion, once again, you know, it makes the Dodgers look bad. They lose sales. They're done.
Well, but yeah, but the thing is, too, you got to remember there could be something in the CBA that states that if they suspend the player, they're on the hook for the salary. Like, you don't know. Whereas if Major League Baseball suspends the player, they're not on the hook for the salary because they've been, their hand has been forced by the league. And then there's probably something in the CBA. Oh, you know, it's probably a business decision on why they didn't suspend the player as opposed to,
For the sports, basically, right? Like Roberto Osuna from the Jays, he got booted from Canada, basically, and now I don't even think he's signed with the team since.
Houston, and now he's
a free agent. He can sign anywhere right now, I believe. But then you've got to look at the Me Too movement in that city. If you do hire him, like it happened in the NFL too, they had that one running back. I forget his name. He got busted, never played a game again.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, Rob, there's two sides to this. There's the defense attorney side of you, right? You're going to say, you know, X. And then what is the social message that you want to give to, because you say it in your article, you support the Me Too movement, you support and believe the woman that came forward, women that came forward against Bill Cosby. Yeah. Under no circumstance in that article once did you ever poo-poo the movement or anything. You were just coming at it from an analytical, legal perspective to explain why he got off.
Yeah.
So I guess from your two hats that you, you're a father, are you not?
No, I'm not. No.
Okay, you're not. Okay. but to a couple guys that are on this podcast that are fathers of daughters and fathers of sons, put your hat on and take your hat off and just kind of summarize it for us.
No, and here's the thing is I agree. Like I said, I agree in principle with the Me Too movement. More women are coming forward. That's a good thing, no matter how you cut it.
Right.
Because again, this stuff has been going on. Men have been getting away with this crap since time immemorial. You know, the notion, Tom Hanks talked about it when everything blew up about Harvey Weinstein. You know, the notion of the casting couch.
Yep.
Is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, and women have had to put up with this for far too long. And like my friend who's a welder told me, I'll circle back to him. He goes, Rob, sometimes when you're, when metal's bent too far one way, if you want to get it true, you've kind of got to bend it a little farther back the other way if you're going to get it straight again.
Right.
So applied to this is that, there's going to be a rolling back of some of the legislative changes. I really do, because I think we've compromised it in this country. And I disagree with the social media dogpiling and ruining someone's life before they've even seen court. But at the end of the day, you know, in principle, it's good. Unfortunately, there's going to be a few casualties along the way until we sort of get the right system here. You know, did Jake Virtanen do it? Maybe not, but he hasn't seen a court and they haven't even laid charges against him. She's suing him civilly.
Right. So we're going to end this episode here. I want to have you on for one more because I've got one more follow-up topic that can spin into its other. Cool. And because you kind of touched on it right at the end and it kind of got me thinking. Okay. But thank you very much, Rob, for coming on with this episode. Thank you everyone for listening and sharing and caring and all that jazz. We really appreciate it. My name. Oh no, we don't do that. No. Okay. Anyways, all right. Fine. Josh, send it away. Send it away, Josh.
Help us help you stay informed.
Hi, I'm Emily Roger, and I host a leadership show called The Boiling Point with my co-host Dave Vail. Together, we sit down with trailblazing entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers who are driving meaningful change in our world. The show is all about exploring the lives and perspectives of leaders who are making a difference. Join us for insightful conversations that challenge the status quo, spark new ideas, and inspire you to take action. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or at BoilingPointPodcast.com.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
Hey, yay! Hey, yay!
Produced by Cryer Media and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.